Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 5 through 11, Lord willing. We've been in Hebrews now for over a year in our Bible studies, and we're winding it down. We're getting down to the end of it. We've got one more chapter after this, chapter 13, and then chapter 12 here as we'll be finishing it in the next probably couple of weeks, Lord willing. But tonight as we look at 5 through 11, we're going to look at the subject here of the Lord's chastening. A subject a lot of people want to avoid, don't want to talk about. Nobody wants to be chastened, surely, but that's what the Bible tells us. And we're going to look at this. And let's look at these verses here together to begin with. Hebrews chapter 12, starting verse 5. And the Bible says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of your word tonight. God, thank you for the good singing, the good fellowship. Lord, the prayer requests that were shared. And God, now I'm asking for your help with this message. Lord, help us in this Bible study as we try to understand from your word what you would have us understand. God, open hearts to receive it. Open our minds to be able to listen and hear. And God, those with an ear tonight, let them hear. For it's these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in our last study, we looked at the previous verses to this, in verses 1 through 4, and we looked at the end of the faith. We looked at all of chapter 11, which dealt with faith all down through there. And then as we got into chapter 12, the first four verses were also dealing with faith and how we had this great cloud of witnesses, those that came before us that we can look to as our example and learn of this faith and walk in the faith that they had. And what a wonderful study that was. But tonight, as we get into this, he kind of changes gears and he looks at something totally different. And he looks at the chastening of the Lord, and he's talking to saved people at this point. And he's trying to let them know that under all these things they're going through, these trials, this chastening, all the things that's happening to them, it's because they belong to the Lord. Now, as we look at this, I want us to notice here this word chastening here, or chastise, or to chasten. This word, he says not to despise the chastening of the Lord. First of all, we want to look at that despise means to have little regard for. In other words, we need to pay great attention to this chastening God's dealing us with because it's very important to him. Otherwise, he wouldn't be doing it. Well, I noticed here that the Hebrew writer, he's writing to children, he says. "I write unto you as children," he talks about. "My son," he uses these endearing terms, "as you would your children." And that's because he's talking to God's children here. And, of course, when he talks about this, he's referring back here to the proverb of Solomon, which starts out the same way. He says, "My son." It's believed that maybe Solomon might have been writing some of those proverbs to his son as he was speaking this. And, of course, these Hebrews would have automatically remembered the scripture from the Old Testament, these proverbs. It would have been very prevalent in their mind. And when he said this, they would have said, he's quoting from the old text. He's quoting from the scripture. We know this. This is Solomon, the king, that said this. And in Proverbs 3:11, Solomon does say that. He says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth." So automatically they said, yes, that's what he said. That's what Solomon said in the Proverbs. And so he's kind of getting them back into the scripture. And he did this. If you notice through all our study, the Hebrew writer, he takes them back to the Old Testament over and over and over. It's because it's something that they know and they're very aware of, something they followed. They've learned the scripture. They can recite the scripture. And so when he brings that to them and shows them from the old text into the new and how it applies to their lives through Christ, then it solidifies in their mind what he's talking about. So he does that more than any writer in the New Testament. Any book in the New Testament, Hebrews, refers back to the Old Text more than all of them. So in verse 6 of our opening text, he says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Well, here we see why we should not regard his chastening lightly. It's because if he's chastening you, you belong to him. You're one of his children if he's chastening you. Everyone in here has probably known of a spoiled kid, right? I've known spoiled children. I grew up with some people that were only child. Not every only child's spoiled, but many of them are. But I've grown up with some people that are just spoiled rotten. I mean, their parents did not correct them. They never did anything to them. Anything they did wrong, they just overlooked it, and they shook their head or whatever. But they wouldn't scold their children or correct them. And we see what happened to them. They grew up to be spoiled adults, thinking that the world owes them something, that, if they hold their hand out, somebody's going to put something in it. They don't want to work for anything, but they're spoiled because their parents spoiled them. And if you talk to somebody that has a spoiled child and you say, "Why are you not correcting them? How come you don't ever whip them or correct them or discipline them?" And they'll say, "Because I love them too much." Well, that's contrary to the teaching of God's Word. If you tell me you love your child so much that you can't whip them, you can't give them some chastisement here, some chastening, you know what you're telling me? You're telling me you are superior to God. You're telling me that your love is more than what God's love is if you think your love is so great you can't discipline your child. Because the Bible says that God loves us. He loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten son here to die for us. And the Bible says if we belong to him, he chastens us. Why does he do this? He loves us. He's trying to discipline us. It's a correction that he does. It's a forming of our lives. It is a molding of the person, of his children, is what he's trying to do. It's not punishment. Don't confuse chastening with punishment. That's not what it is. Now, we've been punished sometimes in our lives for things, but when the Bible talks about God chastening you, he's not punishing you. The punishment for sin was done on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ took all the punishment on himself, all past sin, all present sin, and all future sin. Jesus Christ took the punishment for that sin on the cross of Calvary. He did it through his blood. You didn't pay for it. And so when God corrects us or chastens us, it's not to punish us for sin, but it's to correct us. It's a disciplining process that he puts us through. So don't confuse those things. Chasten actually means to inflict suffering upon for purposes of moral improvement. That's what the word means. So it's not a, you know, I'm mad at you and I'm just going to beat you because I'm mad. God's not chastening you because he's mad. He's not mad at you. He's trying to correct you, to help you, and to mold you because he loves you. And so I want us to be very clear on that tonight. You aren't doing your correcting to your children out of anger. It's just like if you see a young child and they're learning things, and you see them going toward one of those electric outlets, or maybe a hot stove eye, or one of those heaters that sit on the floor that's very hot. And you see them start walking toward it, and they're kind of laughing, they're walking toward it. You say, "Get away from that heater, that'll burn you." Or, "Get away from that electrical outlet, you'll get shocked." And they keep going. They go a little farther, and they get closer to it, and they look back at you, you know, kind of grin. I said, "Don't get around that. It's gonna hurt you. You're going to get burned. You're going to get shocked." And what happens? Then they go off, take off flying over there, and they start to put their hand on. What do? You jump up, you run over there, and you smack that hand before they hit that heater, or before they put it on that stove eye, or before they stick it into that electric socket. Why did you do that? You love them. You love them with all your heart. You don't want to see them get hurt that way. Because if they put their little hand on that stove, it's going to get burnt. How much better would it be to have your loving hand smack that hand out of the way before it gets burnt? That's what God does to us. He chastens us. He loves us. He don't want to see us go down the wrong path. And so therefore he will mold us and shape us. And he tells us, hey, and you know when it happens to you. You think, "Well, boy, this right here is going to make me happy. I'm going to get into this sin right here." And you go for it. And God's telling you back in your head, that little voice is telling you, "Hey, that's wrong. Hey, don't do that. Hey, get away from that. That's sin. Stay away from that. And you keep doing it. You keep getting closer to it. You get closer. And what happens? God will send something in your life to chasten you and to correct you. And friends, I want you to know, sin has repercussions. You're not free from the repercussions of sin. You're no longer punished if you're saved tonight. You don't get punished and go to hell to pay for the penalty of sin because Jesus paid that penalty. But you will be chastened, and God will allow things in your life that will happen that will correct you. And He does that for your good. He does it for your good. Don't take that lightly, the Hebrew writer says, because everyone the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. If He didn't love you, He wouldn't do it. You know, chastening is the Lord's discipline process. It's part of that word I like to use a lot, sanctification. It's part of our sanctification. Now remember, when you're saved, what are you done? You've been justified. That's your justification. As you're saved through your daily walk with Christ in your life, from the minute you're saved to the minute you lay your head down in death, you are going through a sanctification process. This is the Lord's discipline in your life. It's the chastening, it's the learning. All this is part of your sanctification. And you learn and you grow. And then, once you go from here in death and you wake up in heaven in the presence of the Lord, just like the Bible says you will, friends, then you are glorified. That's your glorification process. And then we'll become like Him. And won't that be wonderful then? But here for a while, we're going to have to endure some chastening down here on this earth. Part of our sanctification process. And He's doing that to make us more perfect like Jesus. Verse 7 says, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? And here He illustrates a great truth about God. A great truth. Not everyone can be called a child of God. Yes, we are all made in the image of God, and He loves everyone in the world. But unless you're saved tonight, you are not a child of God. In fact, the Bible tells us we belong to the devil. If you don't belong to God, you belong to the devil. And so to be a child of God, you must belong to Him. The only way you belong to Him is you trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. And through Jesus, you belong to Him, and you're a child of God. Well, it says here, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? It's the parents' job to chasten their children. You know, if my children have friends over, and they do about every week, we've got a kid in our house. One of them will have a friend stay over all night or whatever. And if they do something wrong in the house, you know what? I'm not their father. I'm not the one that chastens them. If I hear them say something they shouldn't, I may say something about it. But I'm not going to chasten them. I'm not going to whip them. I'm not going to do things. They don't belong to me. They're not my kids. But now if my kids do it, they're going to get it. They're going to hear about it. They're going to get chastened. They're going to get disciplined because they belong to me and I love them. I want to make sure that they don't go down the wrong path. You know, if I saw that one of my children were wanting to experiment with drugs or something, you know what? It'd be bad on them. It'd be really bad on them because I love them. Now, somebody else's kid gets on drugs, I'll pray for them. And I may, you know, pray with the parents or talk to them and say, what can we do? But it's not my job to go over there and get them off drugs. It's their parents. So if you belong to the Father's going to chasten you like He will your son. He's not going to chasten you if you're not one of His sons. It doesn't work that way. Verse 8 says, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. So if you don't belong to God, right there He says it. He says it. He doesn't chasten you. That means you're not one of His children. Now that word right there, a lot of people misuse it and use it for bad word. But this word bastard here, it comes from the Greek word nathos. And it means an illegitimate child. And the thought behind it is this child is one that the father discards. It's one that a father don't want to have carry on his name. He don't want to discipline him. He don't want to raise him. He don't want to have anything to do with this child. He's discarded him, threw him out like a piece of trash. Now, God doesn't throw people out like trash, so don't get that mixed up. But I want you to know tonight, this word that's used here, this bastard, it means you're treated like that father that don't want to have anything to do with children, with their child. And it says right here, if you be without chastisement, wherever all partakers, then you are bastards, not son. So you're like an illegitimate. You don't belong to God. You're not getting chastened by Him. The father here wants nothing to do with him until he comes to the knowledge of Christ. Now, verse 9 says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Well, here he makes mention of the earthly fathers. and how the earthly fathers disciplined their children, how they chastened their children. And what did we do? We had reverence for them. You better believe when I heard the belt buckle jingle, when I heard the leather strap snap, 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 you better believe I had great reverence for my father when I heard that noise. And all that chastening that I got, and I got my fair share of it, and I deserved it. But I had reverence for my dad. You didn't hear me say things about my dad. You wouldn't have heard me say something negative about him. You'd never heard me use his name in a bad way. I'd never went behind his back and said something about him in front of anybody. I had respect for him. I had reverence for him. And he chastened me. And I appreciated that once I got grown up and out of the house. But I want you to know, we have reverence for our earthly fathers. But he's saying here, well, if you have so much reverence for your earthly father, the one that you know in the flesh that's corrected you and has brought you up and has made you the man that you are, the woman that you are, has done such things in your lives, what much more you should have for your heavenly father who's going to do everything for you, who walks with you and talks with you and keeps you and saves you and brings you to heaven to live with him and gives you a new body in Christ? How much more you should have for your heavenly Father? Shall we not much rather be in subjection of the Father of spirits and live? In other words, we should have great respect for God. In these times that we're going through trials, we don't sit around and badmouth God. We don't say, God, why'd you do this to me? God, how come this has always happened to me? God, why are you always correcting me? Why is this happening in my life? Why not somebody else? No, we have great reverence for Him. God, I don't understand right now what's going on with me. That's what we need to be thinking. I don't understand right now. God, whatever this is I'm going through, I want to use it, God, in my life to help. That's what He wants it for. He wanted to help you. He wants that for you. And he talks about this correction here. Now, I know some people. I grew up with some people, went to school with them. Their fathers didn't correct them. It's like mine did. You know, they got away with everything. It wasn't Kevin. Kevin got corrected like I did at home. And I had some other friends, their dad was not even present in their life. I mean, they lived in the house, but you never heard them say a word to them. They'd do anything they want to. And you know what these friends did? They went out one night and they all got marijuana. They all smoked marijuana. You know what? I wouldn't do that. Kevin wouldn't do that. None of us would do that. Why? Because we had reverence for our father. Who we knew if we went home and we had some kind of smell like that on our breath, something like that in our life, you know what? Our father would have beat us. He would have chastened us. But these other boys, they had no fear. They didn't care. They went home. Their dads didn't even know if they was home or not. My dad was probably waiting. In fact, I know he was. I remember coming home late one night and that window raising up. Where you been? Hollering out that window. You know, 12 o'clock at night. So, you know, I had great respect for him. But he says right here that, the father, he was chasing you. But these other guys that I grew up there that didn't have this, their lives now fell apart. A lot of my friends in high school, they ended up getting their girlfriends, having babies with their girlfriends before they got married and having to get married. A lot of them got into drugs and alcohol. Some of my friends right now are alcoholics and drug addicts. And they didn't grow up like I did. And I thank God for that, that I grew up how I did. Verse 10 says, "For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit that we might be partakers of his holiness." Now, here he recognizes that sometimes, our earthly fathers chastened us to please themselves. In other words, it kind of gave them a little joy to be able to correct us, and which I thought was always the case when I was growing up. But he always enjoyed it, but he didn't. I know that now that I've grown and I have children of my own. You don't enjoy correcting your children. There's no fun in it. But he says here that there are some that did this, chastened after their own pleasure. But he says, "But he for our profit that we might be partakers of his holiness." And so why does God do this to us? Why is he chasing us? Why is he disciplining us? Why does he correct us in all these things? Why do things happen to us that we know that God has allowed to happen in our life? Well, right here is the reason. That we might be partakers of his holiness. That we may be made in the likeness of his son, Jesus. That we may be perfect and found perfect in the eyes of the world, in the eyes of God. He's trying to perfect us. 2 Peter 1:4. Says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." God's doing it for your good. He's doing these things for you so that you don't go into the ways of the world and act like the world and live like the world and have all the things and the sin in your life like the world. He's wanting to perfect you, to you be a partaker of His divine nature. There's nothing divine about us until we have Jesus in our life. And then we can be part of His divine nature. God's desire for us is to be holy. The Bible says God is holy. Let us be holy. He's a holy, holy, holy God, the Bible says. 1 Peter 1 and 15. But as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it's written, be you holy, for I am holy. How many of us today have done things in our lives that we knew was contrary to God's will? We've said some things that we ought not said, and then something happens a little bit down the road. You know what? I believe that's God chastening us. I believe that's God giving us a gentle reminder. I'm trying to perfect you, and you're doing the opposite of what I'm trying to have you do. And so God will correct us. And of course, Paul, he says this in Ephesians 4 and 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's probably one of my very favorite verses in all the Bible, because it tells us God's plan for our life. What is it? To make us in the fullness. And it says right there, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What does that mean? He wants you, He wants me, He wants all of His children to be just like His Son, Jesus. And Mom sung that song a while ago and said, when God looks down, He don't see me as I am, but He sees the blood of His Son. He sees His Son, Jesus, when He looks at me. If you've been saved, when He looks at you, He sees the Son. He don't see you as you are, that sinner, a lost sinner, or a dirty, rotten sinner, or a filthy rag sinner, but He looks at you when the blood's applied and you've been saved. He looks at you and He sees His Son, Jesus. He sees that blood and it's holy. Now, I tell you what, that's wonderful tonight to think about that. Now, verse 11, we'll be finished. Verse 11 says, now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Well, of course, discipline isn't joyous. How many of you tonight got a whipping when you were a kid and you said, thanks, Dad, that was great? Not a one of you, did you? You was like me, you was crying until you got whipped, until you quit crying. And it wasn't joyous when I was getting chastened. It's not joyous when I have to chasten my children. I see how they get, and I see how, you know, they cry and go on. But I do it for their own good. I do it because they need to be done that way. They need discipline because we love them. But it's not joyous. We don't like to be disciplined. But when it's over, we're better off for it, aren't we? I know I am. The times that I've done things and I got a whipping, I got chasing. And when I got chasing, I was a better man after that, because I didn't ever do that same thing again. It made me better. And that's what God's planning for us. According to the Bible, when God chastens us, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness. And that's not something you go and pick off a tree. That's something that is part of the Holy Spirit that works in your life. When God's chastening you, you know what He's doing? He is that potter, and you're that clay. And He's in you, and He's working around. He's molding. He's making. He's saying, boy, I'm making this guy, this girl, this woman, this man, I'm making them like my Son, and I'm trying my best to make them righteous and holy and give them that peaceful fruit. And, you know, it reminds me of that song there in the church hymn, I think it's page 203. Something about my trials on earth, someday we'll see, someday, someday. And we shall have unending peace, someday, 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 some glorious day, from sin set free. I'll live with Christ for a someday, someday. And one of these days, all this chastening, it'll be nothing but something in our past. And we'll look back and say, God, thank You for that. Thank You didn't allow me to fall into that sin that I was trying to get in. Thank You that I didn't go into that thing that I was determined to do and that You chastened me from it. Thank You, God, for shaping me and molding me the way You wanted me to be, the man or the woman of God that I am. Now, these trials are simply the Lord disciplining us. He's chastening us. He's molding us. And He wants, through our life, to smooth us into the form of Jesus. You know, no trials would be worth it without the discipline. You wouldn't learn anything if you wasn't disciplined. When you go through these, you're better equipped to help other people as well. When somebody has something happen in their life, you can say, I remember that happened to me. And you can go over and help them. That peaceable fruit of righteousness, you can go over and help those folks through the Holy Spirit. He'll help you do that. I heard that you were going through a trial. I've been through something similar. Maybe I can help you. And that's part of that. And I was talking to some folks at the homecoming. They were saying something about, you know, until you go through something, you don't understand what somebody's going through. And I agree with that. You know, people do things, and you can sit back all day long and pray for them and say, I'll pray for you. But until you experienced it and went through your life, you don't really have a deep understanding of what they're going through. That's why God robed Himself in flesh one day and became a man and came down here to live on this earth to be like you and be like me, live with us so that He could understand us, He could identify with us, and we could identify with Him. Friends, there's not anything you went through that God hadn't experienced already. And so God is a God of all knowledge and love and wisdom and power, and also a God of chastening, the Bible says. And we should be glad of that, not take it lightly. And that's the message for tonight. And my, what a joy it was to think about God's chastening. I've never really...